Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
This is when the season gets interesting, okay? When people start to wonder, the doubt starts to creep in. Are you as good as we thought? Are you as bad as we think? We're trying to figure this thing out, okay? The Warriors lost last night. They've lost 6 of 7. Dan apparently needs more help with his camera. Like, seriously.
What did I do?
You've done nothing is probably the biggest issue.
But I don't do anything nefarious. I just click into the internet.
But moving so fast, it's a camera that tracks you. For people that are listening on radio, we're on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. We have cameras set up in studio.
You want to see my laptop?
That's not a laptop.
I know. It's my version of a laptop. This is what I'm going back to. The old notepad. Give me a peachy and a number 2 pencil. The hell with this. Every time I go into this computer, I got to see, you know, I'm like a pitcher, and here comes Ken to pull me, that slow walk out to the mound.
Yeah, he is, he's the skipper, you're the right arm that can't figure it out. By the way, that notebook looks like you took it swimming this morning. Where is that thing tucked away?
It was folded in my pocket. And so
you fit an entire notebook in your pocket?
Seriously, it was like sophomore year at SI. I'm like, the hell with it. I'm just gonna, you know, there's something to putting pen to paper. It's the best way to create recall memory so that these things sort of set in with you. We're too reliant on, you know, we have a whole generation that is just, it's hypnotized in this hypnotic state of this addiction to being online. You TikTok and coconuts, you.
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly.
I can't focus for more than 10 seconds.
No, you're atypical for your generation because you read, you have an interest on different things. And
I know how to read. That makes me so special.
Well,
the comprehension part is I lack a little bit. But, you know, you help me through these things, again. And I try to help you. And maybe we'll get you an iPad for next week. And maybe we'll get you a camera that works. And maybe, again, when I have to set up things for you in the morning, I should take you through the steps in order to have it so that I don't know if you can put pen to paper, technologically speak, whatever version of that is for you. But we can make strides together. How about that?
All right. Hold my hand. Take me into this century.
Well, it's been 24 years. I hope you get there at some point. 888-957-9570 is the number. Dan Devone, Evan Giddings, Warriors This Week, every single Saturday, 9 to noon. Let's go out to Raven in San Francisco, who's been hanging on patiently. Raven, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey, thank you. First, I want to tell you, when life throws you lemons, make lemonade.
I know.
And so that's making the best out of whatever life throws to you. And then I wanted to comment on the caller who said putting Steph and Draymond in the last 6 minutes would ensure like they're playing the worst of each team, where no opposing coach would allow their worst to be in if Steph and Draymond are in. So that's just not realistic. And I don't think you can look at Steph's 22 average as him falling off, because the other players like Hield, Wiggins, Melton, and Waters was playing so well, it allowed Steph and Draymond to get more rest. So naturally he was in less because it wasn't required. So that moved his average down. And just lastly, I'm not convinced that every time Steph and Draymond are out that they're hurt, because they played 3 games in 4 days, so they needed to rest. And so they don't want to keep getting fined, so they have to be creative. And so that's the extent of what I wanted to say.
Appreciate that, Raven. Yeah, I think, look, to me, Curry's health is obviously paramount to this season. And the 23 points, yes, is a result of his minutes coming down. It's also a result of him, like, against I think it was Denver. The stat that I always look at with Curry nowadays or when I'm watching a game, how many of his field goal attempts are threes? Like the percentage, his three-point rate. Because what that tells me is if you're not taking as many twos, you're not able to get A, by your defender, or B, into the lane when you need to. And that is naturally going to happen as you get older. That doesn't mean that Curry's not playing very well this season. He's shooting more efficiently from three than he was even last year. He's shooting 41%. But the amount of attempts he's taken has come down, and the amount of threes that he's taken has stayed relatively similar. So to just overlook the fact that Curry is taken a step back so far offensively over the average. Yes, he still had big games against Boston, was really good against Oklahoma City. He is obviously sensational against Dallas. All I'm saying is those performances come fewer and far between.
I don't see, I guess, what everybody else is seeing, that Steph Curry is notably slower or not the same sort of player or proficient scorer that he was last year or over the last couple of years. Now, certainly, he's not the same player as far as scoring the basketball like that of 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. But the other thing that we're missing here is what we've talked about all along, is that there is no number two to Steph Curry. That if I'm anybody, if I'm Minnesota, whoever it is the opponent is, I'm running at Steph Curry. I'm taking three guys, and I'm taking the ball out of his hand. Why? Because there is nobody on that roster that has proven that they can score with any consistency, especially now with Wiggins out of the lineup. And I think that has to be taken into account, what it is that we've talked about, where this is a team that can't score the ball. Well, Steph Curry can. The problem is that nobody else can, and as a result, what you're going to do defensively is that you're taking the ball out of Steph's hands. And when he crosses the timeline, let's not only run two guys at him, but let's shade three guys. Like if he decides to cross over and get to the rim, let's make sure we have help defenders. Because that's the problem. It's Steph and nobody else. So, yes, logistically, offensively, your numbers are going to dip considerably. He needs help. You space the floor, you give him other shooters, other scores, and Steph is fine.
But we've been saying this for a couple years. I mean, who was the number two last season?
Klay Thompson, statistically, but I wouldn't put him as a number two.
Okay, Curry was third-team All-NBA, he averaged 27 points a game. 2 years ago, who was his number two?
Now, I see what you're saying, but now more than ever, you need a number two. I mean, I recognize that he's...
All I'm trying to ask is, why do they need the number two more than ever? I think it's because he's older and he's got creaky
knees.
We're
saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But I do think it's worth noting that as you encroach the age 37, that, you know, you need help more than ever.
Yeah, and I think that's why they've turned to Kuminga. It's partially because they have nowhere left to turn, but it's also because you got to get younger, or you got to be more reliant on younger players in hopes that those guys can get better, because Steph Curry is not going to transform back into an MVP candidate that he was 3 or 4 years ago. In all probability, he's going closer towards the end of his career, and you need guys to step up, I think, to kind of account for some of that fall off. Can Curry still be great? Yes, I'm not saying he's cooked by any means. Curry still, he can be fantastic, but he needs someone to help get him to a place where he can close games. And right now, I think the only guy on that roster that I see that can consistently have the ability to do it is either Andrew Wiggins or Jonathan Kuminga. And Wiggins has been a bit up and down. Kuminga's been up and down, and that's why the Warriors have struggled offensively. Let's go to Scott in Berkeley. Wants to get on the program, get in the conversation. 888-957-957 is the number. What's up, Scott?
How you doing, fellas?
Fantastic.
You know, I in a way, I don't worry about this because teams go through transition. And when you get older, there are things that are going to happen, especially in a game that favors the younger player. I mean, if they go into the lottery this year, I'm fine. I mean, if they get the magic ball and get flagged, great. But there's still Ace Bailey. There's still Dylan Harper. There's still the other kid at Duke. the other two kids, I guess, at Duke, that would be fine. You know, in a way, are we lost because of the injury situation? You know, OKC losing Holmgren, the whole New Orleans roster. What's happened in Philadelphia, though, I kind of look at the Philadelphia situation and I go, this is what Daryl Morey deserves. I'm appreciative of the last 10 years. And to a certain extent, I think we're all sitting here judging the team by 2015, 2017, 2018, and 2022. This isn't those teams. The NBA is a work in progress. I think Silver has set up things so that it's difficult for teams to maintain, well, at least the more veteran teams, to maintain a level of competitiveness because of the cap and because of the aprons. And this is kind of what we're, you know, this is what we're living with. I'm not upset by this because this is what happens with the game. And that's all I've got to say about it. Take care, fellas.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. I don't think this is a lottery team. I mean, I never thought that they were a championship team or a contender, even when they were 12-3. But I never felt like this team is a lottery team. The other part, too, it's... I mean, if you want to be honest, like... The Warriors hard-capped themselves. Okay, so, yes, there are consequences in the modern game for spending a lot of money. And that's probably because of the Warriors and because of the Clippers, and the league wanted to create more parity. But this particular season, the Warriors hard-capped themselves at the first apron so they could use the mid-level to go get Melton. That was a choice. If they really wanted to spend a lot of money, or as much as possible, to try and maximize this roster, they could have done that. They didn't. They decided because either the Clippers didn't want to play hardball or the Jazz were asking for too much, that they did not want to or could not trade for Paul George and Lauri Markkanen. I think that was the pairing that they were hoping that they could bring in to basically stay above the second apron, go all in, and try and make a run at it again.
If you really think about it, the Warriors are sort of in a very precarious situation because you don't want to be middling, and that seems to be where they're headed. Like, this is not necessarily a bad team, and I don't think it's a top three seed, maybe not a top four seed. And when your core and your best player, and one of the best players to ever do it, is aging, clearly, and you think about a future, well, when you think about a future and you want to be relevant, there's one of two ways to do it, and it's sort of the way that Orlando, OKC, were you just, you know, Philadelphia in the process going back a couple of years ago, where you're just a bad team and you get into the lottery every year, and then you can rebuild through the draft. You're never going to find another Steph Curry. It's not going to happen in our lifetimes, but at least you find another young core which you can identify and then put pieces around it, and then there's another structure, and then you can build from there. But when you're the Warriors, and you have an aging core of Steph and Draymond, and then you have just a bunch of okay basketball players, it becomes very challenging to see where it is this team is headed. Forget about this year. Steph Curry's going to be 38 next year, and you know you can do the math going forward. What does it look like 3 to 5 years from now should be the biggest concern for the Golden State Warriors. Because right now, you're a team that's a little bit better than 500, I think, at the end of the season. And that's okay if your stars are younger and you can make trades. We can go through all of these permutations during the offseason of who they should get and who should they pair. But the hourglass it's running out, man. And you're not rebuilding. So what is the identity of this team going forward as it relates to Steph Curry and his final year or two?
But when you say that, it makes me wonder why people want to move and trade their younger guys in hopes of getting a star to maybe have a chance. That's what I don't get. You're right. I do think the Warriors are between a rock and a hard place. And the rock is Steph Curry and Draymond Green in that core. and the hard place is there are younger players that they're trying to promote and help develop and all the rest. They're either too old or too young, and the players that are currently in their prime have not produced enough so far this season for them to not be, you know, a team that people foresee contending in the West. That's why last night is important, because when you prioritize, and I think that this is the first time that I had seen Steve Kerr proactively do it, when you prioritize Kuminga over Draymond Green, that's an inflection point. That's an inflection point in your franchise. Does it mean that the Warriors are going to lean all the way into their young players? Not necessarily. But it means for the first time that Kerr, at the very least, recognizes that his young guys are going to dictate how far this season can go. And I have not seen that from the Warriors maybe since, gosh, before Steve Kerr got here. Ever since Steve Kerr's been here, he has had the luxury of Curry, of Draymond, of Clay, of a cast of characters that have been productive, that have been proven, and that have been champions. That is not the case on this roster. The champions are the old guys. They're the old regime. And they're still good, and they are still going to help you win games. Draymond might be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Curry can help you close, but they're diminished versions of their former selves. That's why moving Kuminga into the starting lineup and trying to figure out what he is, that's significant. It's a seismic shift in the Warriors that we haven't seen in over a decade. And if it fails, I wouldn't be necessarily shocked, because I think it's a lot to ask of a player that hasn't proven much over his first 3.5 seasons. But if it works, well, then to your point, Dan, you can, I think, legitimately envision something productive in 3 to 5 years, and that's where the Warriors are at.
Yeah, I mean, Pajemski's a starter. Trayce Jackson-Davis started the season. I mean,
but in a perfect world, are those two players starters? I mean, Kevon Looney is now a starting center because TJD's played himself out, and Pajemski, I think they had envisioned being the backup point guard for a backcourt that was Curry and Melton.
I think the problem with the Warriors is that this youth that they don't want to move off on, or could be something that they, when people talk about, if you're going to go make a trade and a big splash and bring back a star, you're going to have to give up on this youth. Well, what is the youth at the end of the day? Are we not overrating the Pajemskis and the Trayce Jackson-Davis and the Jonathan Kumingas? Because this idea that we got to hang on to our younger players, well, you can hang on to them, but what exactly, you know, who exactly are they in terms of being good basketball players in the league? So, this could be the beginning of something, and I hate to go here, sort of ugly, because your younger players aren't necessarily very good, and your older players are too old, and you're far from hitting that sweet spot. And they always talk about how dynasties do not end well, and this could be case in point, because they decided not to rebuild. I thought, you know, we did a show when they decided not to bring back Chris Paul, and they were out on Markkanen, and Paul George didn't come here. I was like, okay, there seems to be a direction here that the Warriors are hitting reset, rebuild, whatever it is that you want to call it, that they're going to, you know, not deal with second aprons. They're going to stop spending money. They're going to try and identify a new, younger core, and that this is going to be a team that is not going to be vying for playoffs or Western Conference titles for the next 2 to 3 years. You know, call it a soft rebuild. But this is something that I can't get my arms around, because it's not a rebuild, and you're not good enough to win the West. So what the hell are you? What you are is you're an aging team with no identity and a star who's soon going to be somebody that you can't rely on as your number one, and then you have no fallback, and there is really sort of no course in terms of going forward as far as the future is concerned.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone with you here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go down to San Jose and talk to Frank. Wants to get into the conversation. Frank, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Dan, I can I appreciate your appreciation of pen and paper as a traveling notary public. I do deal in ink and paper a lot. Hey, just want to do two quick things addressing the Steve Kerr priest call. I think he's a very polarizing figure, and every time that we get a little losing streak, it brings out the Steve Kerr critics, and I just think that's hilarious because I mean, you look at his track record, and I would like to see even like the greatest coach of our modern era, Greg Popovich, do much better with this current collection of characters. Second thing would be, I think the worst thing that's happened this year was, especially to our chemistry, was the loss of DeAndre Melton. That was devastating in my opinion because like his defense replaced Klay Thompson's defense of 4 years ago, I would say. And he was super versatile in the offense with 3-point shooting. I think that's been the most hurtful thing to our chemistry and, you know, the current losing streak. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was just contrasting two guys that really frustrate me are Wiggins and Kuminga. I think they're both just, I don't know, they both are head cases in that you can't ever count on them. You see flashes of brilliance from Wiggins where he just looks so smooth on his three and drives the lane and looks like, you know, Jordan sometimes in there. But then sometimes I get anxiety every time he touches the ball because then he becomes a turnover machine sometimes. He's not a strong ball handler. And comparing him to Kuminga, I think Kuminga has so much potential, but again, it's his head. He can't get out of his head. Maybe it is when Steph and Draymond are on the court that just brings him down. But, you know, if you look at it last night, he was making strong drives, dribbling to the bucket really well and finishing strong. And then last night, I don't know, he had a couple of drives, but most of the time he was just like stuck in the corner over there, waiting for Steph to do something. Or when he did have the ball, he wasn't aggressive. He was backing up. He was like waiting for something to happen instead of trying to make something happen like he is fully capable of, in my opinion. That's just what I was noticing last night. Is like, I was like, Kuminga, go to the hole, make something happen. And he just wasn't doing it last night for some reason.
Well, I think in comparison to Houston, we talked about this a little bit off the top of the show. Thank you, Frank, for the call. I think the difference between Minnesota and Houston's defense, because they're both statistically this year really good, it's that Minnesota has a rim protector. And the Warriors this season have struggled offensively, generally, with teams that have a quality rim protector. You know, a Gobert, even a Jokic for Denver. I think he's a better defender than people give him credit for. Houston doesn't really have that. And I think that's where Kuminga, for example, was able to expose the Rockets, is that Şengün is a good offensive player. He's gifted. He's not a good rim protector. Steven Adams used to be a good rim protector. He's no longer that player anymore. It's impossible to ask Kuminga or Wiggins or whoever else you want to throw in there. They're going to struggle with the... I mean, God, it's why they got blown up by 40 against Cleveland. I think it's why they play better against a team like Boston, because Boston doesn't have... Well, at least they played him without Porzingis. They don't have a ton of rim protection. Oklahoma City, the first time they beat them, Chet got hurt, and they didn't have Hartenstein. The second time they played Oklahoma City, Hartenstein was in, and I think you saw him bother the Warriors. So... You know, the Warriors are, look, right now their offense is extremely feast or famine. And for the last 2 weeks, it's been more famine than feast.
I think when it gets to Jonathan Kuminga, I just go right back to sometimes he is energetic and he attacks the rim, and other times he's just not that player. And I don't think he overthinks it. That, oh, I better not flash the paint because Rudy Gobert's there. There were avenues for him. There was a baseline to be taken, and he didn't want anything to do with it. And that's sort of where he's at as a player, is that there's some nights when he's a dominant basketball player, but for whatever reason, and to me, it's because he's deferential to Steph Curry, to Draymond Green, to Steve Kerr, that he knows there's a quick hook when those two guys are available, that he's too conscious of not making the right basketball play that he loses all confidence and climbs into that shell. And he becomes sheepish, which is why he doesn't attack the rim.
One more segment on the other side of Warriors this week. 888-957-9570 is the number. Also got a few texts to get to on the Comcast Business Text Line. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone, we're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Listen, I'll admit, I am technically challenged.
But you help build apps.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, appetizers.
We call them poo-poos.
Case in point, turn your mic on.
We call them poo-poos in Hawaii.
Poo-poos?
Poo-poo.
I know.
Poo-poo platters.
Poo-poo platters?
You don't know this?
I know poo-poos. Yeah, there's a place down the block from where I live.
East Bay.
Oh, please. Well, first of all, I'm basically the city now, Dan. I mean, people call, they say I don't know where I'm from anymore. I switched up. I changed. No longer an East Bay guy. Although I was concerned, as we were talking about earlier this week, for you know some of my friends who were evacuated due to a false tsunami warning earlier. And, you know, I have respect for Mother Nature is what I have that apparently you do not. And that might be where still have my East Bay roots.
No, Mother Nature's everything to me. Like, that's the one thing about swimming. You know, we'd get to it at some point. What was the over and under today? Is that, you know, when you leave terra firma, when you go into somebody else's backyard, that's the rush about swimming. Listen, if I get hit by a seal, if I get hit by a shark, don't want it to happen. But if it does, hey, man. I took that oath when I stepped into the ocean or I decided to play in your world. Like, I don't want somebody in Hawaii, if somebody gets attacked by a shark, what the locals would do, because some locals would consider them as gods, that they don't believe in bringing in the team and the shark hunter to go out and kill this shark. First of all, you usually don't get the same shark, but if it's a man-eating shark and we're bringing in somebody, an expert from Florida or Australia to kill, oftentimes what locals will do will sabotage this person that was brought in as the guy that's the assassinator who's going to take out this shark. My point is that you, when you... I think go into the water, you have to be under the realization that this is, if something happens to you, it's the risk, it's the rush, it's the reason why we swim. When you're done, it's like, oh my God, man, I'm still in one piece. And it's the chance of getting bumped by a seal or a sea lion snarling at you or seeing a dorsal fin in the water.
You made it sound like you're doing a tour of duty every single time you step in the Pacific Ocean. You don't get a Purple Heart for bumping into a seal.
So there was a
They're not airdropping you in Afghanistan every time you step into the Dolphin Club.
There's a seal that...
My life.
The seal bumped me the other
putting
day.
Putting it in the hands of
and
the
I was
ocean.
Like, oh, God, man. I don't want to get bumped by a seal. It freaks me out, man. It's like I'm going to have a heart attack in the water. And it was a pup, wide-eyed pup, looking at me. And I'm like, I just swam.
Because
you never
cute.
Know. No, dude, it's the hell with the cute. Animals are unpredictable. You just don't know. So I'm like, I'm not dealing. I'm going to the water. I'm going to the shore. I'm going to the beach. I'm not swimming all the way back to the club. And as I get... to the beach, I look back, and this big wide-eyed pup is looking at me. It's following me down the beach. Like, why don't you want to play? Like, come on in. What are you doing? Let's play. It's literally like my pet as I walk down the beach back to the club so I can go shower and sauna and get the hell out of there. It's following me. And so I finally get to the pier with I'm like within 20 yards, and I look at this thing and I'm like, "The hell with it, man! I'm going back in the water. Let him bump me. He wants to play. Let's play." And I jump back in, bumped me a couple of times. I went to the shore and got out.
So the Dolphin Club has a domesticated seal that you guys play with?
No.
You found a puppy?
No.
That's a dolphin.
Nothing is domesticated.
All right. Well,
comes to seals.
Let's go to my side of the bridge. The hell with you, seal grazers. Leroy's in Oakland. Wants to talk about the Warriors. Leroy, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? It is a pleasure to be on. I'm a longtime Warrior fan, and, you know, for a long time, you know, I've been hearing the Warriors need a big man, the Warriors need a big man. And I didn't really want to believe it, but now I'm starting to look at the team and the way it's currently constructed. And I do now think that we are a legit, a fundamentally sound big man away from, you know, being able to compete in the Western Conference for the top one, two, three spots. And, you know, the type of fan that I am, like, when my team needs something, I'll be like a scout, man. I'll start looking around and see what we got, and I'm looking at the money and everything. And I'm looking at this center, this 7-foot-1 center out of Toronto named Jakob Pertel. And, man, I'm looking at the footage. He hit 30 against the Pacers. He hit, like, 35 against Boston. Legit 7-1. I think he's averaging like 16 points a game this season, almost 12 rebounds. He does some of everything well and just fundamentally sound. And he's not going to come at an expensive price. You might can like package a guy like Milton and GP together and get him, but it won't really like take a lot. But man, is he fundamentally sound? And if we could get a guy like that, man, that would be awesome. I think with what we have now, we can compete for, you know, the top one, two, three spots in the West. What do you guys think about him, if you guys have seen him before?
Thanks, Leroy. Well, I'm with you. He definitely puts up numbers, and I do know this because he was an early fetch for my NBA, the fantasy NBA team this season. The thing about Pirtle, like, I don't want to dismiss the idea of making a trade for a big man. But I think that's the kind of player that if the Warriors are going to make a move at some point this season, it's probably a guy like him, a player that is on a team that maybe wants to get off his contract. I'm looking right now, Pirtle's making $19.5 million for the next three seasons, including a player option. He's a guy that is more of a traditional post, doesn't shoot it that well. He's not a game-changing player. But I think that's the kind of guy that the Warriors are more inclined to go trade for than a Jimmy Butler, a Paul George, a Giannis, all the names that everyone wants.
You don't mean the position center, because I don't think they need a center.
No, but I think a guy like Jonas Valanciunas is someone that, for example, is attainable. He makes $10 million a year. He's relatively cheap. The Washington Wizards stink. They want to get off him. I think they signed him to trade him. You know, I think... like, those kinds of guys are, but again, they're depth moves. You know, I think a center is something that the Warriors actually might decide they need because maybe Trayce Jackson-Davis turns out that he's not someone that can help you. I don't know.
Wizards, by the way, shout out, have lost 16 consecutive games.
Dude, they didn't win in November.
That's wild. I don't think, listen, maybe if we had this discussion 2 or 3 years ago, the center discussion, you know, maybe it has a little bit more teeth to it. This year, there are so many things that this team needs, and center's not one of them. Well, yeah, you can always use a center, but Kevon Looney's actually played very, very well. And he sort of replaced Trayce Jackson-Davis as far as the minutes, and Kevon Looney is he's a beautiful man. Probably the most disrespected, forgot about, and a guy that just does whatever's asked. And never chirps, never complains, and he's still here, and he's showing everybody that he can still set those screens, rebound, protect the rim, and on occasion when you need him to, you know, get his own, get some offense, and be Kevon Looney of his days back in Milwaukee. But that's not – Kevon Looney's fine. Trayce Jackson-Davis hopefully will get back to where TJD was a year ago. That, to me, does not jump out at me that the Warriors need a big. We've seen the Warriors win without a traditional big. There's so much more to this team. It's about youth, and it's about scoring. It's about wing defenders. It's about wing scorers. It's about, again, that proverbial number two who's going to fill it up that's not named Steph Curry. And if it's a center, then God bless. If Giannis wants to come here on the cheap, then yeah, go get him. But in terms of a center being the reason that the Warriors are struggling right now, I don't see it.
No, I don't think the center position is something that – look, they can use upgrades across the roster. If I was to ask you what the Warriors – if they were to address a position, like which position would you want?
Off guard.
Someone who can score.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
– well, that's not a position.
Well, that's true. But I hear what you're saying. A two opposite Curry, right?
That can score.
Okay, so we're on the same page. I think the most likely big name trade candidate that the Warriors could realistically acquire is Jimmy Butler. I know that doesn't move the needle for a lot of people, but I think it. If you are going to try to go all in, I think he's the guy that makes the most sense because you know that he plays winning basketball. He is a guy that you can legitimately envision as a number two alongside Steph, and he also doesn't have much money on the books in the coming years. You don't have to give him a contract. Yeah, he's got a player option for next season that he said he doesn't want to pick up. Even if he does, it's still just one more year.
What am I giving up?
You're probably giving up a lot. You've probably given up Wiggins, Kuminga, and a bunch of filler. Maybe you pick. But it's someone that the Warriors have expressed interest in before. They did so this offseason. You know, again, I mean, Curry, Butler, Green, because you're probably sending out Wiggins and maybe Kuminga. I don't know. Maybe you get to hold on to Kuminga. I'm not so sure. But to me, it's I don't know that I like it because I think the Warriors still have a month or two to figure out where their wings are at, particularly Wiggins and Kuminga playing with Curry and Draymond if he comes back into the starting lineup. But the most likeliest trade candidate that the Warriors could acquire, I think it's Jimmy Buckets.
Well, that means that you're playing for a title in the next, you know, this year or two years.
Do you see this
as a team that's ready to win a title without?
Yeah. I don't, but I also don't know what else they can do to catapult themselves back into contention. You know, I mean, like, all right, let's be honest. The reason why the Warriors are stinky right now, buddy, you got to shoot the ball better. Pajemski, can you find nylon one time in a row? Kuminga, you got to be able to do it more than just one night in a week. Wiggins, I need you back at 17 consistently per game. Curry, we need you to close. We just do. Draymond has to be better defense. They need everyone on this team to play better. Like, that's why they've been so bad compared to their start to the season. Lindy Waters, I don't know where you went. You got to shoot the ball better. Gary Payton II. Can we do something? Like, the players on their team, I think, legitimately give them reason to believe they can improve, but all of them have been playing badly at the same time, and that's where you run into losing 6 of 7.
Yeah, agreed. And listen, let's finish the show with some level of optimism, and maybe this maybe this is just a bad spell, and that they're going to get back to who they really are. Maybe who they really are was that team we saw in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but you don't believe that.
No, I know. You know, one thing that I do believe, when it relates to Lindy Waters, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, Pajemski, that I do think that there is something to when the big bad bear is in the room, and that's Steve Kerr, that's Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. If these guys are missing shots, they become very timid. And that's just natural. I think that's understandable. I don't think it's anything that Steph Curry is doing specifically. I don't think he's saying anything. And Draymond, it's just the fact that they recognize that, you know, if I'm missing shots, I can't keep shooting it with Steph on the floor. I got to get him involved, or I'm going to get pulled by Steve Kerr. This is Warrior basketball, after all, and I'm just a kid. And I think that the one thing that has to happen, if I'm Steve Kerr, if I'm Steph Curry, I sit these guys down and have a meeting, and I'm like, Lindy, listen, shoot it, man. You have full range to shoot the basketball. You're not going anywhere, okay? We need you to score. There's no such thing as a bad shot. I trust you. You're not going to get pulled. Same with you, Jonathan Kuminga. Don't worry about me. Shoot it. Be you. Go nuts. Go off. And the same with Pajemski. Although Pajemski, I don't even know with that guy. I mean, he's just jury's still out as to whether or not he's even potentially a good basketball player.
Well, it's, come on. I mean,
well, because I know
he was good last season.
Yeah, he was. He was. But again, I mean, you need to see one more than if there's one good year, one bad year. I need to see another year to determine whether you know you're good or bad in terms of a basketball player and scoring the ball.
That's fair.
But the other guys have some. They have history. You know that they can score. So there's. But I think that butt cheeks get tight when you know.
Well, you also get lemon booty to go back to lemons. When you start to lose games, I think that you're right. The timidness with this team is it's palpable.
The
you
timidity.
Can see the timidity. Damn it, it's
Isn't that
palpable.
A great word.
Yeah, did you just come up with it?
No, it is a word, right?
You got it in your notepad over
I'm
there.
I'm looking at Riz, the guy from Reardon.
You're double checking with an enemy or a rival.
It's a word.
Oh, thank you, Big Ken. What hat does Ken have on now as we close out the show?
Best hat in the world, Orleans. Oakland A's. The thing is, Dan, as I get a little timid myself speaking about this, when you win games, you're able to play with freedom and you play with independence and everybody's shooting and everyone's having fun and everyone's trusting in the system. But when you start to lose, that's when doubt creeps in and you wonder, should I take this shot? Or and does the ball need to go here? You start to want to play perfectly. And that's something the Warriors can't do if they're going to be successful. They don't have the talent that Minnesota has, that Houston has, shoot, Oklahoma City, maybe even Denver, Dallas. They don't have the talent. Where they have an advantage or have to have an advantage is their chemistry and cohesion. And I think that's where, at the beginning of the year, that's where they were a step ahead of a lot of teams. One of the reasons why I think they got off to such a hot start is because they were already together and figured out who they were before other teams did. For example, Minnesota. Minnesota's just starting to figure out how they're going to play with Randall and DiVincenzo instead of Cat. So now the Warriors are being pushed back against, and I think doubt's creeping in. So they got to figure out how to get out of that mindset of timidity, Dan.
Yeah, I think that it's part of the growth of a young basketball player. Klay Thompson understood it. I'm shooting regardless, whether we're down 20 or up 20. That's how I made my mark in the NBA. You've got to be wired differently if you're going to be a scorer in this league. Wemby's got it. Wembanyama is... He's shooting, baby, and he's shooting threes, and he's 7'6". Whether you like it or not, he's putting it up. And there's got to be more of that. You got to have sort of this. There's got to be more of a mentality in the part of Jonathan Kuminga that's like, I don't care. They play every game as though Steph and Draymond aren't there, and that you're the guy. And stop worrying about. Stop being so self-conscious. Lose the consciousness. And just be a guy that's gonna ball out regardless. Even if you turn it over on successive plays, even if you miss three shots, like you've got to go to that place. And that's every player has that. Every good scorer in this league has that in them.
Yeah, but the other side of it is are these guys good scorers? It's like, yeah, hey, Pods, don't worry, you miss one. That's okay. Step into the next one. Shoot it with confidence. Well, yeah, but you throw it off the side of the backboard. It's, well, maybe actually you might want to hold on a little bit, get that ball to somebody else who can put the ball in the hole. It's like, I think they're players that are supposed to be, for example, good shooters right now are not shooting well enough or are being guarded heavily enough. And other guys are not bailing them out. You know, I think other teams, there's a scouting report out on the Warriors. Okay, we'd rather have Pajemski take threes. Again, I think we ran this by our listeners last week. They got a lot of durables or specialists. They have players that play well on one end of the floor or the other. They don't have a lot of two-way guys right now. And that's why I think they're trying to, again, feature or showcase or empower someone like Kuminga because his ceiling is more two-way than anybody on the roster outside of maybe Andrew Wiggins or Steph Curry, you know, if you feel like his defense is adequate.
Yeah, and, you know, when we looked about this team, when we thought about this team and were analyzing when they were doing well early on, it was the collective, right? It was 13 guys. It was, you know, it was different guys and these wave of players that were coming at you. But now that they're struggling a bit, you begin to break it up by individuals. And now suddenly you're like, okay, now that we're not seeing you as a group and we're beginning to see you as individual players, well, oh, Slo-Mo's not necessarily very good, and Lindy Waters isn't really that good of a basketball player. And
well, they're good role players among teams that have top-tier talent, but that's where the Warriors have had a void.
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, Lindy Waters is a good player. Kyle Anderson is a good player. Gary Payton II's a good player. But they're all good players if they don't have to play up slots. Like, the hierarchy after Curry and Draymond, it's, you know, on a given night, is Lindy Waters your third best player? Maybe. But that means you're probably going to lose that game. You know, they don't have, well, I mean, Wiggins would be their three. But my point is that there are too many players on their team that are not giving you enough consistency. And then I think that's why you run into a lot of 90-point performances like they had last night against Minnesota.
Yeah, there's too many guys that don't score the basketball. There's too many role players. You can have one GP2. You can maybe have a Kevon Looney and a GP2. But a Kevon Looney, a GP2, a Slo-Mo, a Draymond Green, a Pajemski, and the list goes on of players that don't score the basketball. It's too many for one team. And that's really where we started the show and may as well take it out, is that they just got to fill it up. And to have that conversation with the Golden State Warriors, who rewrote the rules in terms of how to play basketball because they shot threes at a ridiculous clip and changed the sport, and now we're at a point where, like, well, they need to score. I never thought we would have that conversation as long as Steph was on a basketball floor, but apparently they are. Hey, I have our white guy of the week, if you will, in terms of our potential sixth man of the year.
You know, quietly, whites have been making a run at the end of 2024, and I don't think it's going to last very long.
In basketball.
Well, and in football. But I'm not saying it's going to carry over to 2025, but Caucasians, we're coming.
So last week I gave you Ty Jerome as potentially your sixth man of the year. We had Buddy Hield in that conversation.
I think Ty Jerome is part brother.
Oh, he is?
But sure, yeah.
Okay. Well, then the hell with Ty Jerome. You want to hear who this week's sixth man of the year potentially is?
Sixth
not
man?
Russell
oh,
Westbrook?
I know who you're going to talk
no,
about.
You don't.
Yes,
no,
I do.
No, you don't.
His nickname is P-Rabbit. Peyton Pritchard,
my
baby.
My God, the pride of Oregon.
Wesleyan.
That dude can, like,
that guy's a stud.
You can't hold that guy.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on there?
I got to see pods on him. Little white-on-white crime.
Dude, he will... That guy is just unstoppable.
Yeah, he's averaging like 17 points a game this year. Talk about a leap. He is a player that, again, but like if he's starting for the Celtics, well, he can on occasion, but on a contending team, I don't know if Peyton Pritchard is somebody that is going to all of a sudden like take you to the next level. But as a sixth man, he's perfect. And the Warriors have, my biggest issue with the Warriors, I think they got too many sixth men. They got too many guys. And Draymond Green now is apparently a sixth man. They got Buddy Hield's a sixth man. Draymond Green's a sixth man. In four years, Curry might be a sixth man.
Six men can usually score. The Warriors don't have any of those guys.
Well, that's true. But yeah, no, you're right. White guy of the week. Shout out Peyton Pritchard. It's also nice, you know, not a lot of us are guards. Typically a lot of big men.
And A.G. Green. Or is it A.J.
Also
Green?
Particularly American Caucasians. A lot of them, you know, the Euros. I can't really claim them. You know, I'm not claiming Luka. He's not one of me.
Yeah. How about Jokic, man? That dude is like, I know, like, we know how good he is, but
I know we got to end on a high note here. He's the best player in basketball.
He is amazing, man.
You want to do it again next week?
I won't be here, man. I'll be in New York City, but I'll call in and say hi.
Thank wow, you. Dude.
Yeah. But you have fun.
Well, thanks, Dan. No, I got to get CeCe's number so I can make sure that I can hold you to that because, you know, it's, you know, going around your back.
No doubt, man. I'll call you from the Big Apple.
All right. Well, I look forward to it. A couple weeks from now, Dan Devone's going to be back. I'll be back next week, same time, same place, 95.7 The Game, 9 a.m. to noon. Thank you to everybody who chimed in, called in, Comcast Business Text Line as well. Big thank you to Stephen Rizzotto, Ken Luttrell behind the scenes, helping us get this thing done. My name is Evan Giddings saying so long. Dan Devone, EG, we're back next week on Warriors This Week. In the meantime, have a good rest of your weekend, everyone.